Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Expounded Universe, Season 25, the wrap-up episode. We're just calling it that. It's a wrap-up of World of Warcraft Shadowlands Shadows Rising by Madeline Rue. Madeline Rue. Hey, Commander, say Rue.
No, that's one of the questions.
Yeah, I know, that's why I'm doing it. Roo! We're getting out of the way now, so I have to do sound editing twice.
No.
You suck. Good. I quit.
Get out of here.
Anyway, your hosts are Jeff and John, let's go.
Everybody, welcome back to Expounded Universe, the podcast that I definitely knew the name of.
Uh-huh.
It's me, Jeff, joined as always by my co-host, John.
Oh, boy.
How you doing there?
I'm here.
Yeah? It's a wrap-up episode, so you didn't have to read anything. You
it's
just got to talk to me for like an hour.
Yeah. Well. Boo.
You'll be okay. I'm not so mean.
I'm not so bad.
Yeah.
Once you get to know me.
I'm actually a pretty nice fella. I am covered in tiny cornmeal bits and lettuce because we just ate a sandwich.
Sandwich.
Yeah. Those are very lettucey sandwiches.
Well, you know.
It's good. It's a good sandwich. I'm not complaining. I just, you know, got a lot of lettuce on me now. I should probably stand up and disgorge the lettuce.
No. I like to pool it.
Yes.
Upon my crotch.
Yes, I like to know that I've got tiny cornmeal fragments and lettuce on me at all times.
Uh-huh.
It's probably some of my very, very neatly trimmed at the moment beard.
Yeah.
I don't feel any. We're good. I'm good.
Yeah.
There's some spiders, but nothing else.
Spiders.
Mm-hmm. Saving those for later.
That was also on the sandwich.
So you're doing okay. You're doing all right.
I didn't say that. I said I was here. Don't put words in my mouth.
It's true, you did. I honestly forgot what you had said. So you're here.
Not for long with that attitude.
Well, I mean, we're going to take a week off of this, and then we're going to be right back in the studio.
We're going to be in the thick of it.
We'll really be in the thick of it then.
Goodness gracious.
Rambo has to return to the field, and he's really in the thick of it. It's the Starsky and Hutch, the movie, and Rambo's in it.
Also, Rambo.
We can do whatever with the BBC. We have unlimited power.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
There's one thing I know about the BBC. It is the unlimited power to do anything that it wants.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
It's like godlike Star Trek being the BBC.
Uh-huh.
That's why they're always having to like contend with Star Trek crews.
Yeah.
Coming up and being like, oh, excuse me, the BBC.
My character, Starship Cruise.
I said Star Trek Cruise. Don't put words in my mouth.
No, I want to put words in your mouth.
Oh, that's fair. That's
my kink. Don't kink shame.
But it's non-consensual.
That's part of it.
That means I get to shame. Which is part of it.
So it's all part of it.
This is going nowhere fast. Did you want to talk about the book? Did you
actually do the wrap-up?
Do the wrap-up of this book that I honestly barely remember. This thing was so slight.
It's weird to me that, I mean, obviously we brought this up during the episodes that we did several times. But the amount that this book maps to a standard Star Wars novel is so weird to me.
Yeah.
That you're like, these two properties have nothing in common. But as soon as you start going, hey, man, write an expanded universe novel for this, you are not allowed to change anything drastic.
Yeah.
You can introduce things and then fuck those things over, but you are not allowed to fuck with what is already canon.
Yeah.
And it ends up being like, oh, if you give that parameter to a writer, they apparently make a standard expanded universe novel.
I assume that's why they're all like this, is because they're not allowed to change anything. But it kills me how much, it's not just that in the way that it's like the Star Wars novels. We also have so much wheel spinning. Like, only the last chapter and a half of this book actually matters.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that it's like every other expanded universe novel in that it does that.
Yeah.
And I have to assume a lot of that is because when you are forced to be like, hey, you have to write a book that's interesting. You have to use these characters. You cannot do anything to those characters.
Yeah.
So at that point, you have to go, all right, well, I need to wholesale, just invent new characters that need to be introduced and then either killed or have something done where they don't matter to the plot anymore, because obviously no one else will ever use them. And in case of this, they're not going to show up in the MMO.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, spend a decent amount of your book that would have gone towards, like, you know, developing a story or doing narrative interesting things with developing stuff that you otherwise wouldn't have had to have done.
Yeah.
And it's just, it is amazing to me that it just maps so well to it that you're like, oh yeah, it's a full wheel spinny, go nowhere, do nothing, constantly going back and forth between characters, but no one's allowed to do anything. And
yeah.
You're like, all right. And then you hint at something, and then in the last three chapters, stuff happens.
Because this is, you know, to put this in context, this is our third time doing a non-Star Wars book.
Yeah.
And the first one we did was the Star Trek and Meet the X-Men thing, which also had that exact same problem of hurry up, but nothing's happening until the last chapter or two, and then we actually do the fight. But at least it had what would happen if Nightcrawler met, Worf or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And so you get these little kind of funny character interaction moments that at least kind of buoy your way through it.
Yeah, that one at least felt more like, instead of an expanded universe novel, it really felt like a very long fan fiction where someone was like, I wanted to take my toys and smash them together.
Yes. Then we did the Supernatural book, which falls very strongly into the same tropes of expanded universe fiction where you can't actually affect the plot that much. But then again, Supernatural episodes are generally like that anyway.
Oh, yeah. That one was, I would say, of all of the expanded universe stuff that we have done, the closest to the actual source material.
Yeah, it would have been too long of an episode if it had actually existed. It would have been like a 3-hour long episode because you keep checking in on random victims.
I mean, that you do that shit in the episodes anyway where they're like, we need to cut to someone sees a ghost and dies. So that we can,
you can get away
have
with it,
a victim.
Yeah, and then they do the opening credits, and then you're done with that. Until maybe the climax, they have to rescue one more person who's about to get got by the thing. But in that book, it's like, oh, let's check in with this one guy. He doesn't like the snow. Let's check in with his nearby neighbor who does like the snow. Meanwhile, let's see that lady who lives alone because her husband died, and now the wolf is stalking her house. Okay, we got like three more people to check in on.
Oh, yeah, so that book definitely had like a C plot, and it, the main episode would have just had an A and maybe the B.
Yes, exactly. But it was still closer, largely just because the structure of Supernatural is so different than World of Warcraft and Star Wars. Both of these have interesting problems when it comes to adaptations. They are massive, sprawling storylines.
Yep.
But there's only like 10 interesting characters in both of them.
Yeah.
So that creates a problem where this whole book is all about the leaders of all these factions. It's like if you tried to write a world historical fiction, a world story that's set in the real world, and had it be like, and then the president had to fight the president of Mexico, and then the two of them came to an uneasy detente when Brazil showed up, and it was just one guy, the guy in charge of Brazil, and he was like, you must fight me, and they were like, we will, and then it's like, don't you guys have armies and soldiers and stuff to handle this? Yeah, but no one cares about them or knows their names.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. That is a background concern of, and then some grunts or whatever showed up, and no one gives a shit. They didn't do anything interesting.
Yeah, this whole book is just, what's up with these world leaders? Why are they all running around going on adventures? Well, because World of Warcraft is about a guy named Chucklefuck McGoodbody, your fake character that you made up, who is not part of the main story.
Yeah.
And so you have to adapt and go after the NPCs from the story in the world, and for those characters to have maximum visibility, they are always the people who are in charge of everything.
Yeah.
And that leads to the book being boring.
One of the weird things for me with this is I'm like, even if it's about the leaders, who gives a shit? It doesn't need to be boring because of that. One of the weirdest things is, even with it being about all the leaders, this is a lead-in from Battle for Azeroth into Shadowlands, and we get just Sylvanas at the very end, basically doing a written version of the opening, credit scene for Shadowlands, and you're like, that's the character that, you know, if there was ever a time to be like, yeah, we should probably figure out what Sylvanas is doing, it would be now.
Yeah.
But you aren't allowed to, because no one is allowed to know what's going on with Sylvanas yet, because that's got to be hidden for the game.
I am curious, did this come out before the like cinematic intro to Shadowlands?
I have to imagine not, given that it was literally just the written out version of that intro.
Yeah, which just makes me wonder if it came out beforehand. Like, were they driving sales of this book by saying, like, hey, if you buy this book, you'll get to hear about the cinematic intro before you even get to see it.
Ah, ah.
It's the teaser for the movie trailer. That's a thing we have to do now. God, remember when movie trailers were like 5 minutes long and they showed the whole movie?
No.
Those were great.
I hate that. I would never.
Now it's always like, you get to watch 6 seconds of the exclusive teaser for the trailer that's going to be a trailer for a different trailer for Wolverine 3. Here comes Wolverine.
Here comes Wolverine, right down Wolverine Lane.
Uh-huh. And the teaser is going to confirm that Wolverine's claws are in it, and then it's all logos.
Man, I'm trying to confirm when it came out.
That'd be really hard to do. I think you're probably going to only be able to come up with like the year. We know it came out in 2018, I think.
Oh, nope, I can confirm.
Yeah?
So the trailer that has that cinematic thing with Sylvanas came out end of 2019, like November.
Okay.
And this book came out in July 2020.
Oh, I thought this was a 2018 book. Okay, so which means that this is just old information. So when they finally get to the part where they're like, we're teasing the Shadowlands, it's nothing that you haven't already been able to see.
No, it is fully just, hey, here's a book that's sort of filling in the gaps as you are on your way to go do that. But yeah, you already know.
Yeah. So I don't know. That I'd say that was probably the major source of disappointment for me in this book, is that it doesn't go anywhere. It's not allowed to move any levers. I know that we should be getting used to that over the course of all the time we've spent.
But it's always a thing where I'm like, even when you don't have the like permission to destroy anything or kill someone or do whatever or change the setting in any significant way, that doesn't mean you can't have interesting things happen.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many novels where earth-shattering things do not occur at all in those novels.
Yeah.
And they are still interesting, good novels.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd think in especially something like Star Wars or World of Warcraft, where you'd be like, yeah, you can just have battles. You can have, like, conflict in here. It doesn't need to end in anyone dying. It doesn't have to have, like, and then this territory now belongs to whoever. You can have conflict in there without it being a, like, change of what goes on in the world.
Yeah.
But instead, all of these books we read are like, oh, we're going to have an opening conflict and then 200 pages of just dick holding and then an ending conflict.
Yeah. Boy, I was just checking to see if there was any, because while we were looking up when those came out, I was checking to see if there had been backlash to the one thing in this book that was new.
Uh-huh.
I mean, setting aside Apari, I guess Apari and Teo are new characters for this book that,
yeah.
Teo, you're not going to see Teo in the future expansion. She never shows up. And Apari is the only character that really dies.
Yeah.
But she kind of felt like she was built to.
Yes. It's a character that was like, I have a timer, and it doesn't matter what happens in the events of this book. I will die.
Yeah. So that was kind of a disappointment, if anything. But I was just checking to see if there had been reaction to the one major change I think that this book inflicted on the, or brought to the World of Warcraft universe, which is confirming that Matthias Shaw is gay and Flynn Fairwind is canonically bisexual.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, was there backlash? And it turns out, yes, I've had no trouble finding backlash to it. A lot of people are mad, largely, I'm assuming they're just mad because they're homophobic, but their cited reason that they're mad is because in Battle for Azeroth, Flynn seemed like he might have a crush on that girl that you hang around with at the start of the, Talia or something.
I mean, mostly you just, like, it does sort of sound like there's some sort of budding relationship there, but, who cares?
Yeah, the people are mad about it, but it's just an excuse to be mad. Like,
yeah.
He was in the proximity of girl, cannot be gay.
No, he can be bisexual.
He can be bi. He can also be gay. You don't know. You don't fucking know, Reddit. Quit acting like you do.
God damn it.
Yeah. But, if you look that up, it's just got this huge list of people who are like, how dare you do this? There's one in here that's just called The Death of Matthias Shaw. So did that happen? Did they get... Oh, no, no, wait, no, he's mad. He's just mad. Never mind. Yes. It's a person on the internet who's saying, congratulations to whoever thought of this relationship. You did a great job of ruining two characters on the Alliance side. It's not that I'm homophobic. It's just that they're a forced couple.
Hey, I hate to break it to you. In fictional works, every couple is a forced couple.
Yeah, none of them happen organically. They are all written by the hand of a person. And in this case, with the approval of a whole chain of other people.
Yeah.
There's no way that she was like, haha, I'm going to make Matthias Shaw gay and then send that up the chain. And they're going to have to put up with it.
Yeah. Madeline Rue was not like, ah, flex my muscles. You cannot change my words.
Yeah. I would love to know how far up the chain that had to go, though. Like, do you think, like, Bobby Kotick had to hear about that?
Now, my question is, did it come down the chain? Were they you need to make someone gay in this book?
I think one of the things I was able to find by clicking around was that the author was interviewed about it and had confirmed that, yeah, that was fully her intent to make the two characters have a romance. But it's hard to confirm because there's so much hate for it because, you know, it's World of Warcraft forums.
Yeah.
I'm clicking on, you know, it's MMO Champion and the actual forums and Reddit. They're not good places.
No, those are going to be cesspools for the worst people.
Yeah. But I think there is some confirmation that Madeline Rue got to tell the story and wanted to.
Which is good.
Yeah.
I mean, I do feel like there was some bits in here that if we had focused more on them, instead of having to be like a, let's look at the full world of Warcraft, like if they had really gotten more into this being the story of like Talanji and Apari.
Yeah.
If we got like the background of it, instead of just occasional paragraph that was like, we were friends. Anyway, I'm like, give us, you know, flashback chapters, establish that relationship, then have like an entire chapter that's just, you know, the assault on Dazar'alor, and have like a chapter of Apari being crushed under a pillar and like that entire emotional state, make us invested in your villain.
I mean, I assume the crushing under a pillar thing not getting mentioned prior to it is supposed to be a big surprise. Like it's a reveal that she didn't help her friend at one point.
But it isn't, because Apari mentions it and then Talanji mentions it. And you're like, oh, everyone knows. It just gets brushed aside in a paragraph.
Yeah, I mean, Talanji does not come out of this looking especially good.
No.
I would say that's a big problem. Talanji was a character who, in the expansion in which she was introduced, was dynamic and was leading in opposition to her father without necessarily rebelling against him. She was like, my father's too staid, he isn't trying to get things done, I have a plan to try and fix things and save this island before shit goes completely bananas, I need you to come with me and help me. And then she leads by example for the whole, and it's great, she's a good character.
Yeah.
But in this book, they kind of want to do a heavy hangs the crown thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to work. It feels like she just becomes her dad immediately.
It's, again, I think a problem of trying to make this the world of Warcraft, where you're like, well, we can't just have this be a story about fucking Talanji, so we need to have fucking Thrall there, and we need to have all the Horde people, and we gotta, of course, check in with what the Alliance is doing, even though it has no bearing on this story at all.
And won't be part of the ending in the slightest. Yeah, no. That was the weirdest thing about it. I feel like they just did that because they're like, look, book's gotta be about both. You can't do a book that's just Horde guys.
Exactly.
So gotta get Anduin in there.
You had a bunch of chapters about, like, ooh, we're trying to find these bad guys, and we're trying to get these, maybe these two are going over a line, be like, oh, and then none of it matters, and they don't show up in the last chapters, and it just, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, you just get to hang around with Anduin, and I forget who's even standing around with. Is it G? No, G's the Horde guy. No, that's right. It was Anduin and G. No, I'm sorry, G was the one
G's
who went
the
with
Horde
Thrall.
Guy,
No, you're right. Yeah, it was Anduin and some friend, who I think it was just, what's her name? From the wizard one. The one who's the
Jaina?
Mage. Jaina. Jaina Proudmoore. Here I am remembering Talia Menethil like it's nothing.
Yeah.
Wait, that's not Talia Menethil. It's Talia. No, well, it's not Menethil, though, is it? Because she's Uther's secret granddaughter or something. So she should be a dragon something or other. Yeah.
No, it's Menethil.
Is it? No, Kalia Menethil is that's the one who's like the
lead. Talia Menethil, yeah.
Yeah, but Talia is a different person.
Oh, you're talking about a different person. You are just mispronouncing something.
I'm not just mispronouncing something. No, Talia is the woman who's got the cool griffin that you meet at the beginning of the Battle for Azeroth expansion. She's the
one
cited as the person
yes.
She's the reason that Flynn can't be into dudes.
There you go.
Yeah. boy, every website I've gone to, it's someone saying, like, it feels like this is being forced.
My man.
Man, these people really cannot handle even the slightest amount of, like, hearing about a gay character existing somewhere. I guarantee you none of these people read the book. They were just like, oh, two people are gay now? It was forced.
Yeah.
That's the easiest pat response to come up with.
Yeah, because I can't go, I hate gay people, because then I'll get shouted down. What can I say that is close enough to that?
It's forced. It was forced writing. Just like, oh, I heard a girl was famous for some reason. Mary Sue. Probably a Mary Sue. Let's assume.
Yeah, I just feel like if you cut the Alliance stuff out, you cut out all of the Horde stuff. If you had made it so, like, yeah, Apari does her ritual so, like, boats can't get in, and there is some, you know, she makes some sort of magical thing where, like, you can't teleport. Like, you can't open a mage portal.
Yeah.
And then it's not that Talanji's like, I have to do this on my own because I hate you because you won't let me kill one person. Instead, it's like, I spend the book, like, trying to reach out to my allies and can't, and trying to come up with a way to get around that.
Yeah. Part of me is just realizing that there's some market research they've done that shows that if they wrote just a book about Talanji, and even if they're like, you can have Zakan. Zakan can be part of your storyline. He's your one Horde guy that was on the island when this happened, so you can have him. So it's Talanji and Zakan versus Apari, and that's it. I guarantee you there's some market research that says, like,
No one buys that.
Yeah, 45% less sales if it doesn't have Thrall in it.
Oh, well, for sure they're like, oh, if it's a story that only features one of the two factions, you will immediately lose all your sales to the people who play the other faction.
And even if you do include both factions, if you don't include the important leaders from the two factions, it won't sell still. So it's got to have at least five each leaders from each of the two factions have to have some kind of business, even if it's crap.
You need to be able to have a casual player pick it up and go, oh, I know who that is.
Yes. That's why you have that scene where we go off to meet Sylvanas Taranda and Malfurion, just so we can be like,
and here's some more leaders, you know.
They're mad. They're not going to be part of this.
They are angry. It does not matter. Moving on.
Yeah. You guys want to check in with Gelbin and see if the gnomes are involved in this one?
We're not.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Cool. Love it.
Uh-huh. What about the Dark Irons? You want to check with what's her name?
We do not.
Moira Thorisian?
Nah, we're good.
Nay. Okay, great. That's good. Yeah. I bet Velen's probably got something he wants to say about it.
No, I do not.
Prophecy.
The prophecies.
The light.
I mean, half of them can say that.
I know.
I mean, it'd be really funny if his only thing was to say, the Draenor elements.
The elements, but different ones.
The elements of another planet.
Argus's elements. Although that does sound like a great, like, you know...
book.
No, I was going to say, like, a thing you would say, like, Great Caesar's Ghost. You're like, by Argus's elements.
That's fair, yeah.
Yeah, you know, if Velen was Perry White...
that's what he'd say, yes.
That's what he would say.
Yeah, and that does answer a question that has come up. I think, like, 30 or the 40 of the questions that we have are, what if Velen was Perry White? What would that be like?
What would that be like? And guys, I think we accidentally just answered it earlier.
Yeah, guys, I think it would go a little something.
Oh, like this.
By Kill Jaden's huge dangly balls, he'd say.
How dare you?
He knew Kill Jaden before
that
he
seems
was
forced.
He's like 50 feet tall. Of course he has huge dangly balls.
Boy, man, I killed Kill Jaden. That dude couldn't have been bigger than like 15 feet.
I think it depends on when you kill him.
Yeah.
Or I might just be mixing him up. I never remember which one of those guys you fight where. Who's the one you fight at Mount Hyjal? Because he's the biggest one.
Archimonde.
He's the big. He's probably got huge.
I mean, Sargeras, huge.
Yeah, but you never get to fight him and check his ball details.
You never get to check. Even when he dies, he's only shown from like the waist up. You
exactly.
Don't get to see nothing.
Yeah, but you know, with Archimonde, you got to stand. If you're the tank, you got to stand right under him.
Yeah, you got nothing better to do than look up.
He's got nothing to do better than look up and realize you're acting out the pit and the pendulum right now. So.
Is he slowly crouching?
Yes. He sends the whole fight. Every time it's a paradox because you have to kill him, but every time you deal damage to him, he stoops a little lower. I can no longer resist the swinging of his telltale balls.
Well.
Sorry, that's a different book, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
Or novella, I suppose.
Oh, Lord.
So do you want to do the questions, or do you have more stuff you want to say about this book? Are we done with World of Warcraft? Are we not doing more of these?
Oh, no. I mean, having done one, I was like, great, good to know that it is the exact same shit.
Yeah. Now we know. We can retreat back to the nice safety of regular-ass Star Wars books with no gimmicks at all.
Hooray.
Certainly no gimmicks in there.
No gimmicks here. You'd never find a gimmick here.
We would never stoop so low. Sorry, that probably made some noise. If you just heard some noise, that was me swooping around on my chair too fast.
Yeah, just slamming into stuff.
Just whacking things for fun. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I did not care for this book, and I barely remember anything I read out of it in the first place.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I know. Probably because we slowed the schedule down, that I wasn't getting hit with this quite as hard, so I had time to forget things between sessions.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, even as I come to the end of it, I'm kind of like, eh, I didn't feel anything for that. It could very well be just because it was between two expansions I didn't really give a shit about.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, that's sort of why I picked it, because I was like, oh, I don't know anything about it, and that way I'll go in a little more blind, but it was also a thing where, again, this book seems like, I don't feel like Madeline Rue is a bad author, and of course we've seen that in the Star Wars books where you're like, oh, here's an award-winning author, and they wrote just an absolute trash novel for Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, it's the same thing here where you go, I'm sure Madeline Rue is great. Because the few times where it's like, oh, she's doing the romance that she wants to do.
Yeah.
Or there's actual like interactions with some people that don't matter to the plot that she has to do. It's good. It's fine. Like, you're like, oh, it's not that you're a bad writer.
Yeah.
You're just being forced to do this story.
Yeah, honestly, you were saying earlier that this had just been the Talanji story, it'd be a better book. And I feel like if it was just the Flynn and Matthias story, it'd be a much better book.
If this was just an erotic fiction.
I would just straight up write it as a bodice ripper, but yeah. No one's got a bodice. You know, it's a...
I mean, you don't know. I don't know what Matthias has got under there.
One of them might be wearing a bodice, but I feel like I've got both of their outfits in game, so... But yeah, it's more like just a breeches ripper or whatever dudes wear. You know, I know those are pants, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
A waistcoat tear of a book. A real nipple twister.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you want to get to the questions?
Sure, might as well.
Yeah, I have no idea how to do it. It was hashtag Shadowlands, I think.
Shadows Rising.
Shadows Rising. That's right. That's what this was called.
Yep. That's right. That's the book that's in front of me.
It's not. The book that's in front of me is a different book, which I cannot yet bear to
state. I mean, it's also the book that is in front of you.
That's orthogonal to me. That is that is to my left.
That is diagonal, sir.
It's not even in my line of sight. I have to turn my head for that. Definitely not in front of me.
Good Lord.
Okay.
Okay. So, Shadows Rising, in your opinions, what would the best and worst ways be to handle the divorce between the mechanics presented in-game and the somewhat less gonzo storytelling aesthetics of this book? You know, given that when we brought it up, we're like, oh, you should just have this crazy guy I know do that for you. He's killed old gods. He could probably take out this whole faction.
He's killed every single old god. Often, I think he killed Yogg-Saron like 3,000 times until a robot head dropped.
Weird. I don't know why, but definitely did it.
You'd think you'd just go get it from the room that he beat up Mimiron in, because that's where it is.
Yeah, you'd be like, hey, Mimiron, I snapped you out of your weird possession thing. Can I have that head robot you've got?
I want that flying head that you have. And he's like, okay.
You gotta kill Yogg-Saron for it.
And he has to have, like, extra no help. And it's got a 1% drop rate anyway.
It sucks.
But eventually he'll be able to solo it.
Just wait.
Just wait. It's fine. Mimiron has foreseen this. The prophecy.
the mechanical elements.
I mean, I don't know that there really is a good way to incorporate more. I mean, it ends up just being more words from the game being said.
Yeah, because the few times we have like, oh, and then this guy shoots a lightning bolt and she has a, like, Talanji puts up a shield of light energy, and you're like, okay, I can kind of map that onto those abilities.
I think the funniest one for me was when someone made a big deal about handing Zakan a dagger. I'm like, here, you're going to need this. And I'm like, no, he really isn't. I don't even remember.
Well, I mean, he's going to need it because you do need a dagger in your main hand as a stat stick as an elemental shaman.
Do you? I thought it was usually maces or something. I didn't even think they could use daggers.
Yep.
I guess I'd forgotten which weapons they could use. Yeah, usually it's maces or one-handed axes for them, or fist weapons.
Daggers, fists, and maces.
Mm-hmm. And one-handed axes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that maybe it's a stat stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly forgot that they could use daggers. I thought they were on the no list for them.
It'd be great if it was like, here's this dagger, and he just goes, I can't.
What?
I can't hold. What? He like tries to hold it and just goes, boom. Oh. Or he's like, here, take this dagger. Oh, shit, this is soulbound. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but we're playing with vanilla rules, which means my weapon skill for dagger is too low for this. I mean, I can hold it, but I'm not going to hit anything.
I'm going to miss the whole time.
Look, fine, I'll trek out to one of those spots in vanilla where there was an indestructible thing you could swing at for forever and everyone used it to cheese up all their weapon skills.
God, I remember having to skill up my rogue's lockpicking. Just going to a zone that was like, ooh, there's a bunch of chests here that you can unlock, and there's nothing in them, but it'll get you points.
Uh-huh. Vanilla was a weird beast. Do they put that shit back in? I know they're all the way back up to like Cataclysm or whatever now, so it's definitely gone again. But when they brought Vanilla Warcraft back, was weapon skill back in there, or did they leave it gone? I assume they brought it back.
I have to assume that when they did it, they were like, here it is, just the way you remember.
Yeah, here's weapon skill. It's fucking bad. Sucks and does nothing. And everyone was like, boo, get rid of it. And they're like, okay.
I'm sure it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just don't really, I don't think there's a way to incorporate more without it just sounding like you're reciting extra crap. And we always hate it when they do that in these books, in the Star Wars books in particular, where they're just sitting there listing off names of things you know from Star Wars.
Well, yeah, because then you start getting into the problem where you're like, all right, well, every single thing has to be compared to like X-Wings and TIE Fighters. And you have to have everyone be like, and of course, this is a Rancor-based economy. Everything is based on Rancor leather and teeth.
We don't use credits. We use Rancors. I'll give you two Rancors for a soda, they say.
They'd say.
Uh-huh.
And they would go, no, please do not get those Rancors anywhere near me.
I don't want any Rancors. Well, no, it's fine. It's fiat Rancors. Technically,
oh, yeah.
Yes, I do have.
These coins represent Rancors.
Yeah, I could walk into any Rancor bank, or Bancor, we call them, and get... Get a couple of Rancors and bring them to you, but instead, these coins represent Rancors.
Yeah. God. You want to invest in Rancor coin?
I'm going to destroy you, He-Man, for I am Bancor.
Huh?
The banking-based half-robot, half-blue guy.
But yeah, I think the mechanics of the game, again, like, the whole... being afraid of like, oh, he's gonna die. Well, just fucking res him. Like, you can't do that. Because mechanics in a game are there to facilitate being able to play a game, and they make for bad storytelling.
They're good for jokes, but every time you're like, why don't they just resurrect Death Knight Sour Fang when you kill him in the Frozen Throne so his dad doesn't have to be all sad about it? My son, he has fallen. Yeah, shut up.
My son, the elements.
Shut up, I'm a druid. I have two resurrection buttons. This is not a big deal. Okay. Gonk the Raptor Loa from World of Warcraft is swapped with Gonk the Recharging Droid from Star Wars. How does this affect the stories of both?
Oh, dude, if Gonk the Droid was a Loa, that would be amazing.
Yeah, and people would be worshipping him because he like represents power. He's the Loa of rechargeable power.
Of energy.
Mm-hmm. The energy.
They'd say.
Yeah, and then you talk to him and be like, oh, mighty Gonk, I offer you these tributes of a bunch of batteries I stole from goblins and gnomes. And they would just say, Gonk.
Gonk.
And they would just sort of...
They're like, ah,
shuffle.
a blessing from the
shuffle
Gonk.
Around, Gonk. And meanwhile, I suppose if Gonk was in Gonk the Raptor Loa was in Star Wars...
He would absolutely fuck Jabba's barge up.
Yeah, really bad, because there's only a couple of spots where Gonk droids show up in the original Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's one in the Sandcrawler.
Uh-huh.
So it would just be rampaging around eating Jawas left and right.
Just eating Jawas and then shows up in Jabba's barge being tortured. So I have to imagine they've got some sort of, if we just have to do a full swap.
Yeah.
We don't know how he got there.
A robot burning the shit out of a velociraptor's feet.
Yep.
Okay, that's...
a velociraptor god's feet.
Yes. Anyway, if you'll excuse me, I'm off to AO3 for some reason. No good one, though.
Obviously, no one goes to AO3 for a good reason.
Usually just for a moist reason.
Ew.
Yeah.
Gross.
What? That's not gross. That's natural.
It's so natural.
It's so natural to whack off to a robot torturing a velociraptor god's feet.
His stinky little piggies.
And then I think on that Bad Batch show, the main character, like the group of clones that are the main characters, they have a Gonk on their ship that's kind of like the unofficial mascot. Like I think they even just call it Gonky. So I think, you know, if that was a Raptor Loa, they would be like, oh, he's broken just like the rest of us because a long time ago, someone burned his feet real bad. Based on when that's set, at some point in the future,
someone will burn his feet real bad.
But time works differently for raptor gods. So
yeah, he can tell.
Yeah. So he already exists. He came unstuck in time. And so he has burned feet. And so he gets to hang out with us, the reject clones that we are.
Yeah.
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 That would make perfect sense. Perfect I haven't watched sense. Bad Batch. I'm going off nothing here.
Yes, good. I've know zero about that, so I'll just trust whatever you say.
Bad Batch is the follow-up to the Clone Wars show, and it's about a group called Clone Force 99, I think, or Clone Group 99. It's four or so clones who were either genetically engineered to be different in various ways, like one of them's big and stupid.
Yeah, ripped to them, but they're built different.
Well, they are. One of them's big and stupid. One of them's smaller and smarter. One of them's Rambo. Like, just straight up is Rambo. Like, all the rest of them have short hair, but he has long hair and a bandana.
Mm-hmm.
He also has, like, a half face tattoo, but he's Rambo. And the last one isn't even, like, a genetic modification. It's more like he got really badly hurt and they made him half a robot.
Okay.
And then one more who's hanging around with them that's, like, a girl who is still a clone of Jango Fett, but she's like a special clone. She's a clone the way that Boba Fett was a clone, like no artificially sped up aging and a perfectly adapted clone of him. But her name is Omega, so I think she's Omega Fett.
All right.
The only other thing I know about the show is that the actor they have playing her has such a strong New Zealand accent that she says her own name is Omega, which is very fun to hear.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Great.
Yeah. And that's the show.
And that's that show.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, everyone.
And if I said anything wrong, you can't get mad at me. I've never seen it.
Don't get mad at me. I'm talking about things I don't know about. You can't get mad at me if I do that.
Well, I didn't say anything mean about the show, did I?
Yeah.
It was just like some clones.
Yeah, sure.
They're all voiced by Dee Bradley Baker, which means if you like hearing one non-New Zealand guy do seven different New Zealand accents, it's the show for you.
Finally, the show for me.
Uh-huh. All right, where are we?
Y'all have read two MMO novels now. Do they work similarly? What would have a good MMO novel?
Simon & Schuster, your fine folks at Bookstar. Amazon.com. No, I mean, let's see. We have read two MMO novels because we also read the one based on the Star Wars Galaxies. And I would say that they have worked very different because Galaxies was extremely willing to be about characters that you've never fucking heard of.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was not a good book,
but it was
at least like we are not beholden to being like, well, this has to be about fucking Han Solo and Luke Skywalker.
I mean, you still meet all of the main characters and everything.
They're still around.
They just show up for like half a chapter each, and they're just like, hello, I'm Han Solo. I'll be in another ship. Goodbye.
Yeah.
I appreciate that level of involvement from them.
Yes, to go, hey, we can't get away with writing a novel in this universe without actually showing these people, but it is not about them. They do not have a plot here. They are just sort of, there they are, and then we're done. And I appreciated that.
Yeah, I would say I was also willing. I would appreciate that. I forget the characters' names from that book, but I think it was Finn was the dude that you hung around with, because it was kind of interesting that there was another Star Wars Finn. And his deal was that he was a quest giver NPC in the actual game, but not a very important guy. They just picked a guy and made him the main villain of this book. And I thought that was an interesting way to handle the whole, like, how do you incorporate MMO aspects? And use someone from the book or from the MMO. They do that in here. You have War Druid Lodi and a few other characters that are just I'm just a quest giver and I'm not, but they're not very important and they get quickly discarded so that you can hear more Thrall shit.
Yeah. As far as what would have a good MMO novel, like what MMO would have a good novel or is in such a way that you could write a novel for it and it would be fine.
Well, I did order copies for no reason at all of the City of Heroes MMO tie-in novel.
For no reason.
For no reason. We're not doing it. It's not next.
No.
But I did buy a copy of it. It hasn't arrived yet. So we'll find out if that's the case. But let's think about other MMOs.
I mean, it depends on what you would want out of it. Because if you are looking for like, oh, I want this to be about the characters in it. Because, like, the City of Heroes novel is about fucking Statesman and his shit. So it's not like...
Well, it's set, like, 40 years before the game, too.
Yeah, because it's the story of how Statesman got his groove back.
Yes.
But if you are looking for a thing that is more like the MMO, where you're like, oh, I want this to be set in a world where the characters would be more mapped onto what the player was playing rather than the NPCs that are in there, then that would be a different answer than if you were specifically like, oh, I like the NPCs from this MMO.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That is a big difference. Let's see. I'm trying to think of an MMO that's different enough that I would be interested in seeing how it would handle book characters. And I'm kind of drawing a blank. Like, MMOs are so samey.
If I wanted a book that was like, give me the characters. Oh, God. No, that would be awful. I was like,
say it anyway. Let's hear it.
So if you did a Final Fantasy 14 novel that was about the characters and you're like, we're going to follow like fucking Alphino around. Ooh, baby, that would be awful.
I mean, I wouldn't mind provided that you kept the Warrior of Light out of the story. If you were just like, this is a story. This is a side story where the Warrior of Light is not involved, which means there's no main character shit. And it's just like, we're going to follow around Alphino and Alizé for like a week as they do some story of their own. And I guess they'll bring along one or two more of the characters if they want.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as long as it's not, what's his name? The astrologer guy.
Yeah. Uriangé.
The three of them together is way too much of that kind of writing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't need any more thee-thou shit in my book.
Needs must, I remind you. Oh, God. Just talk normal.
Fuck directly
off. I've met your parents and they talk normal. Why can't you?
Why are you like this? Who made you like this? Who hurt you?
It's all affectation. Uriangé is just like the Final Fantasy 14 equivalent of a goth. He just thinks it makes him cool to talk like that. I don't think he can stop now.
Now, for a book that I would actually want in the world, and you'd be able to do it without doing any of the major NPCs, because God knows I can't think of any of the major NPCs from it.
Sure.
But The Secret World.
Interesting.
The
okay.
MMO that was like, oh, there are three warring, basically, Illuminatis, the Illuminati being one of them.
Yeah.
That, like, not only control the world, but are also, like, trying to fight back against weird, like, otherworldly nonsense that's going on.
Sure.
So having a novel set in that MMO world where you're like, all right, we're going to follow, you know, one of these fucking Knights Templar guys going around trying to, like, make it so that an old god doesn't show up on Earth. That at least would be an MMO where you're like, you could do something interesting with that, the whole secret society thing.
Yeah, and I'm gonna say Phantasy Star Online.
Okay.
Because
I know that was very popular for a lot of people.
It was. It's long gone now.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that I just want to see more of that kind of Neo space aesthetic as opposed to the Star Wars space aesthetic.
Yeah.
It'd just be a nice chance to see some fantasy characters. Plus, I know so little about it that I wouldn't feel like I was being pandered to or not pandered to
enough. That's the same reason why I'm like, the Secret World would be great, because I knew so little about that world.
Yeah. The other one I would throw out there, just because it'd be easy to just write some sort of erotic novel about furries having sex with each other, would be, Second Life.
Yeah.
Just write any story at all and say it's in Second Life.
Second Life.
Just literally write any story you want.
Here's the thing. I can pick so many novels and just say, oh, and that was in Second Life.
That took place in Second Life. Did you know?
Did you know?
Wuthering Heights technically takes place in Second Life.
did you know?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously that makes Second Life the best possible one, because already all of the great works of fiction, of history and fiction were, you know, O Pioneers takes place in Second Life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know White Noise from Don DeLillo is in Second Life? The whole thing.
John Dies at the End is set in Second Life.
Did you know Gravity's Rainbow is in Second Life?
It might as well be. It's completely inscrutable, so...
Oh, well, there is that point where someone shows up in Gravity's Rainbow and is like, I think dogs should vote.
Honestly, that might happen.
Yeah, you everyone knows that Infinite Jest took place inside Second Life.
Mm-hmm. Just like Ulysses, which is set in Second Life.
Uh-huh.
Of course, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So there you
there it is.
Best answer. As an outsider to World of Warcraft, this season has introduced me to a lot of really bad names like Bloodhoof or Rostakon. What are your favorite silly Warcraft names? I mean, yeah, Rostakon sounds okay until you disassemble it. And then you're like, wait, Khan and Rasta? I don't care for this anymore.
Why did you do this?
What are some other favorite silly Warcraft names that have yet to have come up?
Oh, man.
I mean, Oglethorpe Obnoticus is always one of my favorites. It's, I believe, a reference to Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Okay.
But still, the fact that there is a character in the game named Oglethorpe Obnoticus is one of my... The other one, Button Willow McKittrick, is a World of Warcraft character. And to me, that's so specific and unique to California.
So California inside baseball.
Yeah, there is a gnome that you can meet. I don't know if they're a quest giver or a shop or whatever, but there is a gnome in World of Warcraft named Button Willow McKittrick, which is the name of one of those blink and you miss it exits when you're driving along in the Central Valley.
Yeah.
If you're just going all on the 5 in the Central Valley for forever, as one does when driving from Irvine to the Bay Area, you pass several things that would be the perfect names for halflings, and someone at World of Warcraft noticed too.
Oh, yeah. Because Button Willow McKittrick is a quest giver.
Yeah.
And the other one that's just a sign that I always go, oh, that's a halfling, was when McDonald's had Rollo McFlurries. And I was like, Rollo McFlurry is a halfling.
Oh, that's right. And didn't he turn up as a gnome as well at some point?
I don't know, but Rollo McFlurry, for sure, a halfling.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the problem is trying to search for a list of names is only going to come up with like the worst character names you've ever seen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm unfortunately only quoting the ones I really like. I can't think of any other really silly ones off the top of my head. I do think it's funny whenever you have to come up with like 50 names for fire elementals, and so you're like, I don't know, Infernius, Smolderon, Blazicus.
Yeah, doing the Shaman Legion storyline where they're like, you need to go find all the elemental lords and get them on your side. So here's
a Hydrozygus.
Here's just the worst fucking names for elementals you've ever heard.
This guy's name is just Dirtfoot.
Here's Prince Thunderon.
Yeah, he's the air one.
Here you go.
You'd never guess.
And he needs to fight Lightningus.
Yeah, I will say, perhaps the silliest name in World of Warcraft is that there is in Bastion, I forget what you call the blue people. In
Smurfs.
Yes, the blue. Thank you, Smurfs.
Yeah.
In Shat.
Oh, Na'vi.
Chiss.
Yes.
We should carry on.
Carry on, as you were. And Dorians.
God damn it. Nelvanians. We can do this.
Let's just keep going.
Draenei. No, I'm sorry. Well, the blue people in the Shadowlands.
Oh, yes.
One of them, there is an innkeeper in one of them, and his name is Inkiep. It's Inkiep.
Yeah.
So that might be the silliest one there is.
Oh, Inkeep.
Yeah. So there you have it. There's some silly names in World of Warcraft. There's a lot.
There are so many.
Now, what's your silliest name in World of Warcraft for your characters?
It's my silliest name. I mean, my favorite is Party Bus.
Oh, Party
I love
Bus.
Party Bus so much.
I love Party Bus so much, who's your Draenei Death Knight,
yep.
That I remember the history of where that name came from. We were still playing fucking 40K all the time, and you were playing your Chaos Marines riding around in a rhino and saying, oh, here comes the Party Bus.
Yeah, because I only had, because I was poor, one rhino, so I'm like, I have a bunch of foot-slogging marines. This is the worst idea, but I've got one rhino, and it's the Party Bus.
Yes. And I think mine is probably that I do have Beefheart as a Tauren Death Knight, and I managed to get the Captain title at one point, so I do have Captain Beefheart as a World of Warcraft character.
Yep, that's great.
I'm very proud of that.
I have several stupid things. I've gotten compliments on Bumblesmack, my gnome mage.
Yeah.
Like, in some raid, and someone was like, oh my god, that's the best name.
Yeah.
And, of course, To Blame, my hunter, which I love.
It's not pronounced To Blame.
Oh, it is.
It's To Blame. To Blama, life goes on. Anyway, there are several bad names. What are the best and worst aged, worst forced pop culture references in Warcraft and WoW?
Harris Pilton and...
Oh, man. Harris Pilton and the gigantic
and
sack.
The gigantic sack.
Oh, yeah. That's a tough one.
It is a... It's rough.
That has not outlived its usefulness. Or that was definitely outlived its usefulness. You might want to replace it. The fact that that character still exists and still comes up in certain quests and so on is like, maybe don't.
Maybe stop that. Because a lot of them are like, oh, here's Harrison Jones, the Indiana Jones guy. And you're like... Okay, sure, I don't care. But some of them, you're like, maybe don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I honestly, a lot of these are things that I probably should have read before we dealt with it, because I don't remember a lot of them off the top of my head. Like, I can remember that there's a point where you have to talk to that, what's her name in the Shadowlands, the lady in charge of the Nightlands, Winter Queen, and she straight up just does the quote from Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
So there's that where she says, like, you know, in place of a dark lord, you would have a queen. But instead of a dark or jailer, you would have a dark queen or whatever. So she has the same basic thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at a list of them and there are so many, because even just the names of quests, like in Shadowlands, you had a quest that's it's always Cinny in Revendreth. And I'm like, God damn it. Stop that.
Yeah, there's a lot of them that are like, you have to have watched something that's long since gone. Like, technically, there is a wrecked ship with a sign on it that is a reference to Battlestar Galactica, the show. Like, where it says, like, here lies the Lady Thrace, may she hear nothing but the rain. So you're just like, oh, that's a reference to Kara Thrace from Battlestar Galactica. Ooh. But who remembers that?
Oh, man, they have the Budweiser frog in the game.
There
is a frog named Bud, B-U-H-D, and if you click on it multiple times, he does three different noises.
Yeah, that's right. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, so there are a lot of deeply weird references. I think there's a Battle for Azeroth one where you find five animals sitting around in a group, and when you realize what animals they are, it makes sense that they're the 100-acre wood characters.
Yeah, there is a honey bear, a melancholy mule, a pig, a tiger, and a hunter robin.
Yes, so there you go. There's a lot of them, and they're often quite bad.
Yeah.
Where are we? What would you add to World of Warcraft's everything but the kitchen sink fantasy setting? There is nothing too silly.
I mean, the problem is anything I could think of, they've probably already done.
Yeah. Ever since they added all the Star Wars spaceships to be like demon spaceships that hunt you down in the Legion expansions.
Yeah. It's because there's no... Like, ooh, I'll add a little sci-fi. I'll put, like, a mech in there. Like, there are so many mechs.
There's been lightsabers since vanilla. My character personally owns, like, 8 mechs.
Yeah.
At least. Depending on whether you count no mounts.
Yeah, I'm like, I have at least 2 mechs that you can ride around in that are, like, you know, mech in that it is a full, like...
enclosed bipedal
enclosed
humanoid.
Bipedal thing.
Yeah.
But, God, what would I add to the setting? Because
the ability to type in /pizza and then pizza is delivered to your very home.
Your very home.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just charge it to whatever credit card you use for your account.
Exactly. How come no one's thought of that?
How come
I can't trade WoW tokens for pizza?
Let me go on to the auction house and trade gold for pizza.
Dude.
Let me trade gold for pizza. Gold for pizza?
Gold for pizza. Or at least let me trade these fiat Rancor coins for pizza.
No, you got to hold on to those Rancor coins. They're only going up, up,
You're
up,
going
baby.
To the moon!
I hope I don't break my legs.
Sorry, on the drive back over to start recording today, we were listening to Walking on the Moon, and I was like, man, I always hope I don't break my legs. It's not just when I'm feeling elated so much that I feel like I'm walking on the moon. Most of the time, I hope my legs don't break.
I hope my leg don't break.
Walking on the moon, or anywhere.
Yeah. Anyway, if I was going to put something in there, I would put, what fantasy shit haven't we had in there?
Because
I feel like they've done everything at this point.
Let's see. What's a fantasy milieu that they have yet to adapt and steal from directly? There's plenty of World of Warcraft. There's plenty of Lord of the Rings. There's plenty of Warhammer Fantasy and Warhammer 40K. There's no Chronicles of Brdane shit yet. You could take on a role as the assistant pig keeper and have to battle the Horned King. So we can steal some of that.
Oh, yeah. Let's take some stuff that's good and put it into this and make it way worse.
Yes.
Let's just steal some, like, Discworld stuff and put it in there and just make it bad. Just real bad.
Why don't we just take some EverQuest stuff and put it in World of Warcraft?
Yeah, let me get that main EverQuest elf chick and just put her in there.
Yeah, and the blue halter top. You know the one, the blonde ponytail.
Yeah, the
lady.
Main one,
the main lady, the main mage lady.
Yeah, just put her in there.
Just put her in. She's just in there now.
Also, a spider skull walker from the Coalition in Rift.
Yeah, just put some Rift stuff in there. That won't hurt nothing.
Just fully. Let me get a glitter boy.
Can we get Neo from the Matrix?
Yes, you can.
How about Ryu from Street Fighter? He's in like every
other
thing. How
about Ryu from the Matrix?
Yeah, Ryu from Street Fighter's the Matrix.
No, Matrix is the Street Fighter.
Matrix is the Street Fighter too.
Turbo.
Turbo Championship Edition. Super. Hyper fighting. The one where if you press start button, it changes characters.
I'm almost willing to bet that if I looked up, is there a Ryu analog in World of Warcraft? They'd be like, yes, there are two people that sit in a city and there's Ryu and Ken and they stand right next to each other.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me to find out that there is already a Street Fighter reference. You're right.
Yeah.
But I mean, just putting him in there and being like, yeah, now he also has fought everybody from the World of Warcraft universe. So that Ryu page of every you can fight as Ryu just got a lot bigger.
Yeah. He's already punched Galactus. Now we need to know who else he's punched.
He's punched the main cast of Family Guy.
Oh, I'm so jealous of Ryu now.
I know. There's a fighting game. There was briefly a fighting game where you could play as the Family Guy cast, and the secret bonus character of it was a boss that was just Ryu. And they were just like, they literally just did it so they could add the Family Guy characters to that page roster. That was why they wanted to do it.
Great.
So, anyway. Let's see. This was the one that we referenced in the intro. Dear Stormtroopers, can you say Madeline Rue? What did you think of this book? And can we get a few more reads of Madeline Rue from the both of you?
Yeah.
Honestly, I found this book kind of boring. Yeah, I didn't read it. That's not my job. My job is to make sure you do the intro. I know, and I do the intros, but then I, like, listen to it. I don't read it. I read listen to the episodes. Yeah, you better not be reading. If I catch you reading, that's a whooping. I technically can't read. No Stormtroopers can. It's a requirement. I just know my own name. Good. I don't even know your name. And neither do I. Excellent. Yep, that's continuity you can expect from us. Also, Madeline Rue. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's pronounced Madeline Rooks, actually. Madeline Rux. It's Rauks. Madeline Rauks. Madeline Roux. That sounds right. All right, you want to get done with this? Can I go? Yes. All right, cool. Thanks. Break time! Yay! There's pizza in the break room. Don't form a union! I'm thinking about unionizing and the great taste of Hostess fruit pies.
Yeah, there you go. There's some Stormtroopers.
Yeah, they were.
I hope you enjoyed that. We're never doing it again.
Never again.
A Star Wars character and a Warcraft character switch places. Who switches and how do they do in their new universes?
Okay.
Pick them at random. Here we go.
Picking at random, like I've got a big list that I'm going to pick from. I'm
spinning a giant wheel in my head right now. 45% of the entries on this thing are corn horn. Hang on, let me fix this.
And big money.
Big money, big money, no whammies. It's
corn horn.
Corn horn.
Damn it. Thought I got rid of you.
Corn horn and Flynn Fairwind.
I feel like I can't just send a human over because then who gives a shit? I'd have to send, I mean, if I sent an orc, people would be like, you're a fucked up Gamorrean.
I mean, like, there's plenty of other species that are close enough. You know, there are like a fucked up Gamorrean. You're right. They're green and they have the tusks.
And then he'd be like, the elements. And they'd go, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah. What? This guy can talk.
Holy shit.
Not even Piggy, the smartest Gamorrean, can talk.
Let's put this guy behind an X-Wing.
And he keeps saying the elements.
Yeah, I get it, buddy. The elements.
Yeah, we all know about the elements. Whatever.
You're kind of force user.
That's only if he's Thrall. Any other element, any other orc you send over is just going to be like,
blood and thunder.
Mach Gorah.
Kapla. Wait a minute.
Blood wine.
Honor.
Chancellor Martok. They're always there.
I want you to kill me, Worf.
Another joke about Klingon opera.
Although, if I'm sending a Star Wars character to go be in Warcraft, I think it's gotta be 3PO.
No, that's a good choice.
3PO is gonna be a fun one to be like, oh, I'm gonna immediately know the languages. So even if they're like, oh, everyone's speaking like Orcish or Gnomish or whatever,
and he's like,
oh, he'll be like, oh, that sounds exactly like whatever language.
That's a primitive dialect of Ishi Tib.
Yeah, so he would be great because he could show up and they'd just be like, wait, what the fuck? Are you some kind of creation from like the Titans or something. And he's like, oh, dear me, no.
You're going to worship me as a god, right? That happens a lot.
Nah.
These gnomes speak the exact same language of moisture binary evaporators.
And then that's how we find out that this is actually, World of Warcraft is a prequel to Star Wars.
Yes.
Because eventually moisture evaporators
yeah.
are gnomish inventions.
Uh-huh, that's right. Not moisture binary evaporators, which is what I just said, but moisture evaporators, which is what they actually are.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
The binary language of moisture evaporators.
That sounds much more correct.
Yes.
See, I was going to send Chewbacca.
That's fine. Chewbacca's I would feel bad about sending Chewbacca, though.
I mean, he's been bored for the past, like, six books we've read. So let's send him on a fun adventure he gives a shit about, you know?
Uh-huh.
We're going to send him into somewhere in the World of Warcraft and have him switch places. We'll send him to the Warlords of Draenor expansion and have him switch places with one of the orc leaders. So you just got, like, instead of Ren to Blackhand, it's just Chewbacca.
So now we have to kill Chewbacca?
No, he's the one of the ones who's like, this is going too far. I'm on your side now.
Okay.
Yeah. He says.
Yeah, bro.
I've got my voice is a little messed up, so I can't do my usual good Chewbacca. You have to trust me. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good, actually. Really good.
Yeah,
very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Uh-huh. Keeps getting better. but what World of Warcraft character are we sending back?
I mean, if I have to send a World of Warcraft character into
Gelbin,
Star Mecha, Wars.
Torque. I want someone who's going to geek out over the gear.
Oh, yeah, because I was like, I feel like I have to send, like, a gnome or a goblin.
Yeah.
And I kind of want it to be a goblin just so he can be a little asshole. And everyone would just assume, oh, you're just some random alien.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'd be kind of funny to send through.
Oh, my God. They'd be like, oh, are you one of Yoda's thing? And be like, I'm a goblin. That's what Yoda's species
is. Goblins.
Goblin. Oh, okay.
I always thought they were just really old frogs.
Now, would you mind goblin these nuts?
If you need anything, except
time is money, friend. Oh, yeah. I also have a goblin named Money Friend.
It's a good name.
I got the best deals anywhere.
On Ball Goggling.
Ball Goggling, the gnome.
Excuse me. I got to go name a character.
Hold on. Hold on. I'll be
right
back.
I feel like that one's probably going to get shut down by a mod.
Oh, for sure.
No, it's got to be, what's his name? The original leader of the goblins, the big bad guy got one.
The bad one?
Yeah, because he's like a competition for Jabba. He's a big fat tech guy,
like a crime lord. Yeah, sure.
So you can have kind of a fun battle between the two of them.
Gallywicks.
Yeah. So I'd send Gallywicks in one direction and Chewbacca in the other, and that'd be very fun.
Although, if they're fully just switching, then wherever Chewbacca was, Gallywicks is now there, and that's bad.
Also, I'd like to send Sargeras to Star Wars just to watch him get shot with the Death Star and see what that does.
Just does anything.
Yeah, the battle between Sargeras and the big laser on the side of the Death Star. Who wins?
Sargeras. Sargeras wins.
No, I'm talking about Sargeras. He's a different guy.
Different guy. Bigger guy.
Different, bigger, stronger guy.
Bigger, stronger, faster.
Huge muscles, tears in his eyes.
He's got stars in his eyes.
Uh-huh. Comes up to me hat in hand apologizing. He's like, I'm sorry, I'm not Sargeras. I'm a bigger, more muscly guy. Please put me in one of your jokes. And I'll say, sir, you got it.
And I say to them,
mm-hmm.
I say, sir.
And then I hold out my hand and an eagle lands on it because I'm America. Then there's the eagle right now. Your eagle is about as good as your Chewbacca. All right. Did this book at all succeed in crafting the illusion that there's more to Azeroth than a bunch of jackasses running around mining for bear asses and stabbing each other? Did you get a sense for the place as a world with people living in it? Do you even give 1% more of a crap about the setting after looking at it from a non-game perspective?
Again, not really. If they had spent the book in one place and one people and just talked about them and made us give a shit about them, maybe, but when you keep going like, anyway, so these people showed up and then they tortured a farmer and that didn't matter anymore. Good day. And then we go on to the next place. And you're like, all right, well now I just don't care.
Yeah. I had a hard time caring the entire time because I already knew all these world leaders and they're just running through the motions of the exact way they always act. So it didn't really change that much of my opinion about any of them. I didn't feel like it gives me a sense connected to the game world at all more because it didn't feel like the game world.
Uh-huh.
This felt to me very much like whenever I read forums where people are talking about L5R.
Huh?
Because in L5R, what always happens is it ends up being boiled down to people broadly discussing the stereotypes about the various clans.
Yeah.
And it ends up sounding like they're talking about people, where they're just like, Scorpion would never tolerate if Crane got a leg up on Lion. And I'm like, are there like 7 people in the world of Rokugan?
Yes.
And they're all just named like that, like it's fucking Muppet Babies or some shit? Because that's what it always sounds like when people
everybody
talk about it.
Everybody is always going like, dude, do you know the Machiavellian politics of Muppet Babies? Constantly.
Skeeter would never tolerate it if Gonzo managed to get too close to Miss Piggy.
That would cause an incident.
Mm, don't want an incident. But yeah, that's how I felt about this. Where it was just like, there's like 12 people in this world, and all of them are presidents.
Yeah.
Or kings, usually.
It is... It's not great. I would like... Because at least with the Apari... Talanji storyline, you're like, oh, there's a reason for this to be about a leader because it's about a revolution. So obviously, you need to have the leader be a main character because it's about someone trying to overthrow them.
Yeah.
So that's a good excuse for having that leader be there. But when you're like, oh, and why is, like, Thalissra here? Because it's a person you know.
And do I give even more of a crap about World of Warcraft than I did before I started reading this book? Well, when I started reading the book, I started playing World of Warcraft again, and I stopped before I even finished the book. So no.
The answer is no.
No, I've already quit the game again. I'm done. I hit my limit. I'm fine.
Oh, what a shame.
I might come back to get that slime cat because they're doing a storyline. But after that, I'm done. I don't care.
Yep.
And I'll come back when there's another expansion or something because I am addicted to this and it's fine. But for now, no, it did not rekindle a love affair with World of Warcraft in me.
No, there was not enough in here that's like, ooh, this really makes the lore come alive. And now, instead of it just being a thing where I'm running around stabbing people, I care about this. Instead, it was just, no, I kind of just look at it and go, no, this is about what I expect. This is basically like reading the lore in the game.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, okay, sure.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can accept.
So, there you go. That's all the questions that we've got, which means it's time for us to move on to what we always finish off these episodes with. A little sneaky peek.
Sneaky peek.
Of the upcoming next book. So
love
I've got
it.
A copy right here in my hands, and as I always like to do, I'm going to start by reading the back. We open with a quote, and the quote is, "When I look into you, I see no loyalty. I sense only tangled allegiances. Given a choice, I would never trust you."
Mm. That's a quote from me.
It's kind of a boring quote, really, when you think about it. It tells you nothing. It's just sort of boring. But here we go. From across the galaxy they've come, agents of both the Republic and the Sith Empire, an investigating Jedi Padawan, an ex-trooper drummed out of the Republic's elite Black Star Squad, and a mysterious Mandalorian. An extraordinary auction has drawn them all together, in quest of a prize only one can claim. Each is prepared to do what he must to possess the treasure, whose value may be the wealth of a world itself. Or not. Who knows? None intend to leave empty-handed. All have secrets, desires, and schemes, and nothing could ever unite them as allies, except the truth about the deadly danger of the object they covet. And if honey's what they covet, you'll find that they love it. But can Sith and Jedi, Republic and Empire, enemies for millennia, join as one against the certain doom of the galaxy? And that's the end of it.
Yeah.
This is Star Wars, The Old Republic, Fatal Alliance by Sean Williams. So if your question was, can we keep checking to see if there's any good MMO books? The answer is yes. We have one from the other Star Wars MMO.
That's right, baby. More MMO shit. Pew, 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 pew.
This is a John pick, although he picked Star Wars for once.
Oh, this, I do want to say it was sent to us.
A gift, yeah.
By a listener.
Yeah.
So this, technically not my pick. I did, pick it as the next book we would do.
Sure.
But I was like, oh, I like the idea of going from an MMO to a Star Wars book, but lol, it's still an MMO.
Yeah, so who knows? We're staying in the MMO universe, but this time a little Star Wars-ier. So if you've been waiting for your chance to jump back on board because you only give a shit about Star Wars,
Star Wars, technically.
It's just what you wanted. The monkey's paw has curled. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll see you again real soon. We're still going to make bonus content, I assume, just like we always do. So we're making some bonus content. And we'll see you over at their Patreon, patreon.com/systemmastery, if you'd like to hear that. At the $4 level, you'll unlock that bonus content plus every other bonus content that that level unlocks, which is hundreds.
Yep.
And please come support us there.
It'll be great. It'll be great for us. Or, you know, you can always just write a review or hit a 5 stars. Only 5 stars. Give us five stars.
Please only ever give us 5 stars.
Anyone who has been around in the world knows that the only thing you can rate someone on anything is 5, because anything else means nothing.
Yeah, then our manager talks to us if we get any 4-star ratings. They're like, how come this wasn't a 5-star rating?
God.
What can we do?
That happening to me in real life is the worst thing. When someone's like, this is a rating out of 10 and they gave you a 9. I wonder why that is. And I'm like, does that not count for anything? No, only a 10 does.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Why is the scale not a 1 and a 2 then?
Yeah. Why isn't this not good or bad?
Yeah. Because we want you to feel like you might be doing okay.
Because we need to dangle this sword over your head.
Yeah. Anyway, that's Star Wars The Old Republic Fatal Alliance coming up if you'd like to read along. Otherwise, head over to patreon.com/systemmaster to hear some more dumb World of Warcraft shit for the last time. Hmm. And until we do, I've been Elan motherfucking Sleaze Begano.
And I got to finish this up. I got a raid in 20.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No King system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.